department.
Definitely union. My dad would have said he's full of shucks. Is that about right? There's things that your parents say that you don't even think about forever.
Yeah.
And then something like that, you know, comes back up to you. Full of shucks. Hey, how did you guys do it tonight?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm glad everybody's here. I'd like for you to turn to 247. 247. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver, gladding all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary, on the hills that thrown our way. Here the tempest dark and gathered, but our hearts within us stay. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. 288. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou near my temptation. Lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thy indeed, thy blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Let's all stand for prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for this time we have just to come before you to worship you and just to fellowship with each other. We just thank you for this time of the year where we just have time to spend time with each other, with family, and just be with all those who are traveling right now. Just keep them safe on the road. Just help us to show your love to just everyone we come in contact with, and just help us be purposeful and spreading that love and just being like you every day. Just help us to be patient and kind and compassionate. Just be with us the rest of this night. Just help us to enjoy this time and the season. Just to forgive us what we sinned. Just say we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like you to mark 382. 382 will be our song of invitation after our lesson this evening. Kneel at the cross. When you get that marked, I'd like for you to turn to 663. 663. There is sunshine in my soul.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light, all the sunshine, blessed sunshine, all the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus knows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus, listening in, can hear the song I cannot sing. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in the heart, the flower of grace appears. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, all the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus knows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. For blessings which he gives me now, for joy laid up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll. While Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Now, if you don't mind, turn to 839. When all of God's singers get home,
what a song of delight in the city so bright. We'll be watching the heavens fair glow. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, whenever sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home. God singers get home. As we sing here on earth, some sadness on earth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But a joy can't compare with the glory up there when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home. Whenever a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home.
Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen. We'll be heard in that land or the fall.
Every heart will be light, and his face will be bright when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, whenever sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home.
You know, when we think about the Beatitudes, I think that I have had in the past, you know, the preconceived idea of the different things that the Beatitudes have been saying. Recently, when I have been studying the Beatitudes, it seemed more apparent to me that Jesus is teaching us about salvation, how to come to Him and what it means to be in Him. And so as we look at this tonight, that's kind of where we're going to go with this idea of Beatitudes, expressing the very heart of Jesus, and that Jesus knows our needs, and that's why he shares these things with us. Our text, as it says on the screen, is Matthew 5, 3 through 12. First of all, Jesus sees our needs for God. He knows that we need God. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." First of all, in these Beatitudes tonight, I'm going to talk about how I've perceived them in the past. Poor in spirit, that means that we should be humble maybe. And if we're humble, then we're going to have the kingdom of God. Well, I think that's partially right, and we'll look at this as we go along. But Luke 18, 13, and 14 kind of gives us maybe a different perspective. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" You think about this man. I mean, Jesus commented about how this man would be so much more because of what his heart and attitude was. I mean, he looked at his life and saw that he needed God. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now that's what heaven's all about, and getting to heaven is all about, is recognizing that it's a sin. And we have to be able and willing to admit that we sin. You know, if we can't admit that we sin, then we can't admit that we need a Savior to take away our sins. And so, as he talks about here in the last part of this verse, it says, "He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We have to learn to humble ourselves before God and say, "I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. I need you to take away my sins." We need to be sorrowful for our sins, as we've been talking about here. He goes on, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Well, I think, and as I look at this again, it's not a surprise that scriptures can mean more than just one thing. I think that we need to be comforted. There's times in our lives when we need God's comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." It's very obvious that at some time, in some point in our life, we're going to mourn. We're going to be sorrowful because of sad things that happen to our life, death, illness, as many things that could happen to us. We need God's comfort, right? But I think as we look at the idea, the whole concept here about God needing us turn to God, We need to mourn for our sins, as he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that for your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss for us in nothing. Now remember what he's talking about here. This is the man in 1 Corinthians that was immoral, that was not right with God. And Paul says, I judge that man because of his life and his sin. Put him out. And therefore, it says here in 2 Corinthians that he says, you need to be sorrowful. And it's good that you are sorrowful for your sins. You mourned for God. You mourned for the sins in which you have. We need to take sin seriously. I mean, sin is something that attacks us, that encompasses us, can overcome us if we're not very careful. And we need to mourn when we recognize sin in our life and turn to God for it. And turn to God that he can forgive us, so he can, so that we can be joyous when that sin is overcome and we are right with God. Therefore, we, as we talked about just a moment ago about being humble, we humbly accept God's ways in our life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, there's a lot been said about Jesus being meek, right? Meek and lowly. And people, if they use, they can take that and use it and twist it to say, oh, he was a meek person. He was just a worm, that he was not stand up for things that were right. Well, we know that's not true, because Jesus took a stand for God all the time. He proclaimed God. He says, the things that I say to you are directly from God and are not from me. Jesus was not weak, but he was meek. And so he tells us that we need to be meek. So for we to inherit the earth, inherit what God gives us. How do we do that? How do we inherit the kingdom of God? Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. There, we have these lists in the Bible, like the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? We have these kind of verses that give the qualities of life that we should have, the qualities of life that are something we should take within ourselves. And here he tells us that we need, that meekness is a part of that. Isn't that one of the qualities of Jesus himself? That he was kind and humility and meek and long-suffering? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you in a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Meekness is just a matter of humility. It's a matter of turning back to God. Now, the things we've been talking about salvation, is that we are meek before God. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to admit the right and the wrongness of our sins, so that we can be made right with God. If we're proud, what's going to happen? No, I didn't do that. Or, no, I'm not a bad person. Have you ever had someone say that I'm not a bad person? You know, why are you condemning me? No, it's not a matter of that. It doesn't matter how good a person is, right? How strong they are, if they don't have Jesus. Because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And when we recognize that to turn to God, we need to be meek. We need to have the humble heart so that we can live and walk in him. Therefore, we need to greatly desire God in our lives. You know, this verse has always been one of those verses, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I think about Jesus at the woman in the well. He says, living water. He says, I have living water for you, right? I have living water so that you can walk with him, so you can come to me and you'll never get thirsty again. And of course, she didn't understand that. She didn't understand that she was not talking about real water. There was some kind of special water, but that he was that water of life. We hunger and thirst for God. I like the Psalms, and I noticed as I was doing the study and looking for it, there's several passages in Psalms that express this idea. This is from Psalms chapter 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. For I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I thirst for you. Have you really ever been thirsty? I mean, where you didn't, where you think, ugh, I can't breathe, you know, I'm so dry. I use a CPAP machine. And I've never figured out a way to wake up with a CPAP machine and my mouth and my throat not be just so dry. Now, I can sleep, but when I wake up, it's like, ah, I need water. And therefore, I keep a bottle of water right next to my bed so I can take a drink, one of the first things I do when I wake up. It's not pleasant to be that kind of dry. We realize that we need God and that He is the only way to satisfy our thirst. He is the only way to satisfy our longing for life and the answers for life. There are people today that are looking for answers and purpose in life, but they don't know how to find it. They don't know where it's at. That's one of the things that had drawn me to the people in Ukraine, is that there were a lot of people that were atheists there, or they belonged to some Orthodox church, which is almost the same. They didn't have the answers. They weren't finding the answers for their lives, and they didn't know where to find it. But if you could show them Jesus and show them that He had the answer, they responded. They responded to Him to find that answer for thirst and for hunger for Him. Because when you're hungry, you want to have something to eat. I was talking to a friend that was with us today, visiting with us, and he talked about fasting. And so we were talking about fasting. He said, well, I really haven't fasted a whole lot, but when I have, you get really hungry. And I said, well, I fasted 3 days a few times. He said, how did you do that? Didn't you just get really hungry? And I said, yeah, you do. But that's the purpose, to help you recognize your need for God. But the point was, is that when you're hungry, and especially when you come off, whether it's you miss a meal, right, or you don't eat for a day, you're really, really hungry compared to what we do when we eat, you know, 3 times a day or more, right? Sometimes I get really hungry when I've just gone half a day without food, right? Well, when we get hungry for God, when we don't have Him and we need Him, we seek His way to find that. In John 6:27, He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Jesus is the food that we need. He is the solution to our greatest need, our greatest hunger that we have in life. And Jesus is trying to tell us we will be blessed when we realize that and turn to Him. He is the answer for our hope and our salvation. We need to show mercy, therefore, as God shows mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, what is God's mercy? We know He talks about His grace and mercy. Grace is the plan of God to save us when we can't save ourselves. Mercy is how God does that through Jesus. Mercy is God seeing our needs and being willing to forgive us and turn to Him and to walk with Him. His mercy is how we live in Him. In Matthew 6:14-15, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We need to be merciful, as God has been merciful to us. We need to forgive others, as God has forgiven us. How much has God forgiven us? Everything, right? Totally, completely. He has forgiven us. So when we see a passage like Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The same way. God wants us to forgive others totally and completely through Jesus Christ, the same way He forgave us. Therefore, be merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God says, I came and had a plan through Jesus Christ to save you, to redeem you, to bring you back to God. He says, I've got a way for you. And that way is Jesus Christ. God makes us pure through mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. James 4, verses 8 through 10. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Does this mean that God wants us to be sad in life? No. God wants us to see the horribleness of sin. God wants us to see how sin should just tear us apart. It should make us mourn and weep. Turn our mourning to joy, though, and your joy to gloom. We have to be... When you really hurt someone, and you know you've done it, and you want to make it right, would you basically fall at their feet if necessary and grab a hold of their legs and say, please forgive me, because you love them and you don't want to, you're sorry you hurt them and you don't want to have this feeling. All you want to hear them say is what? I forgive you, right? I forgive you. Maybe you've never hurt anybody like that. But if it's a big thing or a little thing, some of the best words that we can have is, I forgive you. And so that's what we need to be. We need to recognize when we do wrong before God, when we hurt God by our lives or by our actions. And he tells us in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God takes us when we're at his feet. He takes us and lifts us up, right? That's what it says. You almost say, and I will lift you up. I seen a picture, and I know it's just artwork, but when it was of a woman coming into heaven and being forgiven and seeing Jesus and throw her arms around him and say, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I could be with you. To be made right with God is a joyous occasion. A time of joy and fulfillment. We had a lot of, God blessed us, let's put it that way. It wasn't us. It was God working through people. As Rob Whitaker has been teaching us, it's the Word of God that changes lives. But when someone was baptized into Christ, we had, fortunately, blessed with many of those when we were in Ukraine. And one of the very first ones I remember is that we were down in the Black Sea. It was actually going to be the first baptism that we had. And it was maybe 10 o'clock at night, but there was a full moon on the Black Sea. Have you seen a full moon over a large body of water? How it looks like it's shining on the water right to you? Well, we went out, it was a calm evening, we went out into the Black Sea and baptized this young woman into Christ. And there were several Americans there, and we were singing and shouting and, you know, and praising God. And all the young people, we had about 40 young people from fifth grade, you know, through young, first, maybe early years in college. And they were, since we were rejoicing, they were rejoicing. But they didn't know why they were rejoicing so much. Matter of fact, this young woman says, I want to be baptized there. And then, so they can see what it really means for baptism, someone to be baptized into Christ. Well, when we rejoice, what's the greatest thing that can happen when someone comes to Christ and someone gives their life and their heart to him? They have become pure, right? Because their sins have been washed away. Blessed are the pure in heart. When will we see God? When we've been made pure, right with God, so that we can live and walk in him. Well, Christ, therefore, because of that, brings us peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Again, just from what we just said, what we just talked about, how do you become a son of God? When you become a son of God, what happens in your life? James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When we become children of God, we literally become sons and daughters of God. When we become a son of God, When that happens, we have a peace that passes all understanding. Because everything that was bad in our life, all of our past, has been washed away and made right with God. We have been had that great blessing to be able to be right with God. And we now have that peace that passes understanding. 1 Peter 3:11 and 12 says, Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So when we seek peace, we seek to be right with God, and we find it in him. We find it in him, are redeemed in him, and brought back to God through him. Then we are sons and daughters of God. Therefore, stand for God as Jesus stood for God. In verse 10 it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is such, to me, one of those verses that is a dichotomy. How do you have this joy about being persecuted? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yes, for righteousness' sake. I mean, if you know, doing what is right before God, and we're persecuted because of it. But blessed? That doesn't make sense to me when you first think about it, right? Because God does, I mean, God said, God, I mean, why do I have to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Well, he says that when we do, then we can know that we are in the kingdom of God when we've done the other things we've talked about tonight. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If we want to live right in God, we will be persecuted. Now, if we shut ourselves off and we stay at home, stay in our building, if we go in our closet and lock the door, if you will, then nobody's going to know. But when we go out and start living, start talking, start sharing, there are going to be people that will oppose us and may a lot oppose us a lot. But we will be blessed because we're doing it for what? For righteousness' sake in the kingdom of God. Not for, we don't go out and say, okay, persecute me, right? We don't say, please persecute me so I can be righteous. No. We go out and we live the life and talk the life and share the life that God has given to us. And the consequences is that there's going to be some people that do that. It's painful. Why is this happening to me is the feeling sometimes that takes place. But we can rejoice because our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We will be persecuted by when we are, we'll be blessed by God when we are persecuted. Verses 11 and 12 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Romans 12, 14 says, blessed are those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So when we're persecuted, we bless them. You know, Jesus talked about this and quite a bit. In Romans 12, actually, it talks about it more also, that God is the one that's going to judge. We are to love back when people persecute us, right? When people do bad things against us. That's what he's saying in our from the Beatitudes here. Blessed are they when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. There was a man towards the end of my time, my first time when I lived in Ukraine, that came to me. He was from the city government, and he says, I want to help you. The city government wants to help you do a better job, and he knew that we were working in several schools in Kremenchuk. Kremenchuk is a city of about 250,000 people, and they had 30 individual schools from 1st through 11th grade. And we were working in about 7 of them. And I said, wow, really? And he said, that's right. And he found out what schools we were working at. And you know, one by one, those schools began to disappear. And I went to him and I said, can you help me here? What's going on? And he got really, saw the real side of him. And he became angry. because he was opposed to what we were doing, and he says, we have destroyed your work. So hard, so discouraging to take so much of what we'd done and just kind of wiped it away. You know, I didn't feel like blessing him at that time. I didn't feel like doing that. But you know, as time went on, the work continued. And God continued to work. And he had other things to do for us and opened other doors for us. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Not that man didn't bless me, but guess who did? God blessed the work that we were doing because we continued to do the right thing. So God will take care of us through it all. At the moment and at the time, you can't see it because it looks like your hands is in front of your face and it's blocking out everything you're trying to do. But God is in control. We need to remember that always, because even though we may not see it, guess who does see it? Guess who does have the answers? Guess who is the one that stands for us no matter what? The Beatitudes is the way that Jesus lived. The very things we've been talking about, Jesus was all of these things in all of these ways. That's who he was. That's who he was to show us who we can be. This is also the direction that he gives to us to direct us to come to him and live in him and by him and with him so that we can know how to live our life with him. It's not an easy life, as his life was not easy. There was not a lot of things that were easy for Jesus. You know, when we took his disciples to a Samaritan village, through the Samaritans, I can just say, Jesus, let's go this way. Let's go around Samaria, right? Let's go around Samaria. And Jesus says, no, let's go here. And they all went into the village to get food. And the woman that Jesus probably came to see, the woman at the well, came out. And it won a whole city to him. Do you know it says that everybody in that city, after he had been there, came to know him. He did not, as far as the Bible tells us, he didn't perform one miracle. Not one. He just lived before them. He taught them and loved them. Because you see, the Jews despised him. But Jesus loved them. You see, when we come to him, it's not easy. That was not easy for the 12 that were with him and those that were with him. It was not easy to seek this out when they thought, man, we don't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus went ahead and was there for them. But it's the life that will lead us to eternity with him. This life that we've been talking about tonight will lead us to Jesus Christ and help us to live and walk in him no matter what. How about you? Are you living and walking with Jesus tonight? Are you living in this past, this attitude of life? If you're not, you can come to him and walk with him and live in him, and he will help you and help walk with you as he does with all of us. Won't you come to him tonight as together we stand and sing?
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, sing within your care, and heal life anew. Trust always in. to there.
The Lord's Supper has been left for anybody that has not had the opportunity to partake. If you have not had that opportunity today, would you please raise your hand? Please be seated. Let's turn to number 12. Number 12, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? We'll sing the 1, 3, and 5.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man a creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was then by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask you at this time to bless this bread that represents Christ's body, the one that hung there on that tree so long ago. He went there willingly so we may have an opportunity to be with him in heaven. He gives us the opportunity by washing all of our sins away as he did such as so long ago. And also that he teaches us what it takes to be saved. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Let us continue. Our Father in heaven, bless this fruit of vine that represents that blood as he shed there on that cross. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this, that we take it well and pleasing thy sight. We know, Father, that we need to continue to strive to do your will. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank everyone for coming this evening. I know that we still have several people that are ailing and have different difficulties. As was mentioned this morning about, we're glad that they were here this morning. and we're glad that they are recovering, and we want to continue, all of us, to pray for their recovery as speedy as possible. I know that sometimes isn't possible when we have certain elements, but with God's help, it is possible. Let's not forget to thank all of our visitors for being here. I've been here long enough, I don't classify them as visitors, but long lost brothers and sisters. So that means a lot to me for them to come and visit with us. I know Mom and Dad appreciates it, but let's not forget about all the ones that need our prayer this week. Okay? Is there anything that I have left out that needs to be said? One thing is that we will be putting up a new sign-up sheet for the communion. This month is just about over. We'll need somebody to sign up for January. When we get that sheet up, it should be up within the next few days, next by the end of the week maybe. So let's be thinking about that on what we can do for the Lord here at the Harrisburg. Is there anything I have left out? If not, let's all stand and be dismissed with a prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to worship you. We thank you for the freedom to be able to do that. We ask that you watch over those who weren't able to be here this evening or this morning, and be with whatever ails them, and just heal them as only you can, and help us to reach out to them to see their needs. Be with us as we go throughout this week. Help us to shine your light. Be with the congregation here as they're working, as we all should, to evangelize and to bring others to you. And just be with that work and those that are involved. We thank you for those that participated in the service and are willing to serve, and that encouragement that comes from that. We ask you just to bless us all in our travels and everything going on with the holiday season, and help us just to touch someone's heart at this time where they may be more willing to hear your word. And bless us and be with us. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for Jesus and the example he is. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I was